You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Why is a proper understanding of the natures of Christ important, and what can happen when we get it wrong? It is August, which means it is time for a conversation with Pastor Finnern on reading the Book of Concord together. We're going to take a look at the August reading plan in the Lutheran Witness. Today's episode of the Coffee Hour is underwritten by Concordia University St. Paul. You can learn more about Concordia University St. Paul by visiting csp.edu. Joining us today, the Reverend Brady Finnern. He's president of the LCMS Minnesota North District and host of Concord Matters here on KFUO. Also happened to be one of the co-hosts of the mass events at the LCMS Youth Gathering this summer as well. I just added that in.
A little extra Lutheran famous now.
Pastor Finnern, welcome back to the Coffee Hour. Have you recovered from your time at the LCMS Youth Gathering?
I can officially say yes now. Yeah, it's good to be here. I tell you what, it just took some time. I loved it. Very humbling, as we talked about when we were down in New Orleans. But boy, yeah, I was pretty wiped out when I came home. But I'm good now and excited to get into the person of Christ. It is so important, because if you don't get the person of Christ right, it has so many implications. So I'm excited to be with you.
Yeah, and we'll get to what happens when we get it wrong in a little bit, but we need to understand what this actually is first. What is a proper understanding of the natures of Christ?
Well, let's go to math. And I know Andy and Sarah are all about math every single day.
It's true.
Math. So for me, when I was in college,
the wrong host. That's Pastor Apple.
Well, that's Pastor Apple. Yeah. Yes. Anyways, but when I was in college, one of my professors talked about the two natures of Christ, and he spoke about it in this math equation, which is 100% God plus 100% man equals 100% Jesus. And we see this thread when you look at the Gospels and we look at the New Testament explicitly, that this is not good math, but it's good biblical theology. It's a thread that goes through everything to understand who Jesus is, which is he is fully God. He is conceived by the Holy Spirit. He's fully man, born of the Virgin Mary. We confess this all the time. And it is something that is very clear. Like, for example, when you look at Luke chapter 1, when the angel comes to Mary and says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God." So we know he's God. We see this throughout his power, authority, everything. It's perfect. But he's also fully man, born of the Virgin Mary, as I said. In Hebrews 4, it talks about how he is able to sympathize with our weaknesses because he was tempted just like us. Now, the difference is he's not a man like us human beings because he was sinless. So that's something we always have to make sure we fully understand. With that comes a very clear understanding that this is not two different people. It is not two completely separate things, but he is completely unified as one God and one person and God and man. So he's one Jesus and he is both two natures. He is man and God. And so it's just very important for us to keep those distinctions very clear. And the beautiful thing as we look at the Formula of Concord is that it puts every single scenario possible that someone could say, but what about this? And it addresses it beautifully in the epitome. So I'm excited for all of our readers this month as they look through the epitome. The Large Catechism speaks to this. The Apology speaks about this as well, that we make sure that that math equation, I think, summarizes it the best. 100% God plus 100% man equals 100% Jesus.
So where is this written and confessed in our confessions?
There it is. Well, it's in the Formula of Concord, as I just mentioned. But the epitome, it's in Article 8, the person of Christ. And so specifically, what's really fascinating, I think, in church history is you have a man by the name of Martin Chemnitz. And Martin Chemnitz was really one of the main driving forces in Germany for the Formula of Concord being written. And we talked about this when we started this series. But he wrote a wonderful book. It's very long. It's very intense. But it is incredibly important for us to be able to understand of the two natures of Christ. And so when we talk about the person of Christ, we're speaking about the natures of Christ, that he is God and man, and making sure we're not getting it incorrect. So this is a mystery. And that's one of the biggest things. It's much like when you look at the Trinity. It's a mystery that if you were to try to logically look at it and how we think in our normal lives, it doesn't make sense, which is why we use a very clear passages of Scripture And we make sure that, the unclear is focused in by the clear statements. Now, I want to go here too, just for a moment. If you look at the Athanasian Creed, it very much so we think of it. I mean, people say, "What's the Athanasian Creed?" And we think of the Trinity, right? And that's another mystery that we have. But also, when this was written at the very end, it very much so digs deeper into the two natures of Christ. So you look at the time range. This has been a discussion piece. This has been a major thing that the reformers, but also church fathers, everybody had to consider for a long, long, long time. So they have something to say that also relates to us today.
Yes, in preparation for today, I did actually do some homework as we prepared for today.
Oh, nice job.
And
nice.
sometimes. and I was somewhat amazed at the list of isms. All the isms, like Arianism and sacramentarianists or sacramentarianism.
Sacramentarians. Yep.
Yeah. Sacramentarians, those fun words. And I want to talk about those and the confusion that they bring. Mm-hmm. But before we even get into where this can go wrong, let's go back to what hangs on this. What hangs on, like, why is it so important that we understand the two natures of Christ in one Jesus? Because there are things about our faith. We talked about the Trinity being one of the mysteries too, but there are other things that if we don't have this right, then it's hard to grasp. Like one example, maybe the Lord's Supper. That might be one example. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What does this mean for the Lord's Supper?
I would say there's two things. The first one is just salvation itself.
Yeah.
Is if Christ is not fully God, like there's some mingling that happens here, then is his blood perfect? And can atone for the world. We see this in Hebrews chapter 10. If he's not fully man, he couldn't die. If it was some weird kind of like, well, did he really die because he's God and so forth? And so he wouldn't be able to sympathize with our weaknesses, as I mentioned in Hebrews chapter 4. And so this is important for the salvation piece of the fullness of our forgiveness, the fullness of our salvation. How do we know that there's been a propitiation, you know, that he has actually taken all of this upon himself, that he has given us his righteousness? He that knew no sin became sin, so we might become the righteousness of God. No sin, if he doesn't have it, you know, there's any possibility that he has sin, we're in trouble. If there's any possibility that he is not human, then maybe he didn't die. All of that brings into question our salvation. And secondly, when you're able to separate the distinctions of his natures, we are more able to effectively and clearly state the understanding of the real presence of Christ. How in the world can God be man and how can man be God? Well, okay, well, let's think about this. In the same way, God operates with that. How can it be the body and blood of Christ and still be bread and wine? So, and this is where the Reformed definitely just really struggled because they're like, how can Jesus be in heaven and on earth? And so when you understand that they are fully united, God and man, it's possible. Does that make sense in our worldly sense? Not at all. But if we understand that they're fully united, the man and godness of Jesus, then we're able to understand that, yeah, he can be in the Lord's Supper. Yeah, he is perfect. Therefore, there's forgiveness of sins. Yes, he is a man. Therefore, we know he fully died. And therefore, I receive the fullness of when I take the Lord's Supper. So it is, I mean, it is a wild ride. I encourage our listeners and for Andy and Sarah to read this, all of the epitome, you know, take your time because you go through one article or one piece of it and you're like, okay, I think I got it. And then you go to the next one, well, I think I still got it. And the third one, I'm not sure if I got it anymore. Then reread it. Because that's really what it is. And the implications are they're pretty dire when you think about it. So we want to make sure we have this right. And once again, go to the clear passages and the clear words of what you're told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is one of those things that if you think about it too long and too hard, your brain starts to hurt a little bit because it's just not something that we can like reconcile according to human logic. But where does this come up in the story of Jesus in the Gospels? You know, we talk about state of humiliation, state of exaltation, those things in Jesus' life that we read. How does the two natures of Christ, what we believe about being fully God and fully man, How does that appear in the Gospels? How does that help us understand the life of Jesus that we read in the Gospels?
Well, I mean, it's pretty extensive, and there's many, many stories. Personally, when Jesus speaks in the Gospel of John, you know, I and the Father are one kind of language goes into the understanding of his godliness. And then also to understand throughout Scripture where he goes and rests and helps us understand that he's a human being. John chapter 11, where he talks about how Jesus, after the death of his good friend Lazarus, that Jesus wept, the shortest verse in all of Scripture. We see that both of this is happening, that his we see his godliness and we see his humanity happening all throughout. And so if someone says, well, he's not this, he's not that. Well, clearly he's both. The real problem comes and say, well, that was only him as a human being, or that was only him as God. Really makes things really tricky. And once again, I said, kind of, you know, just it just flows into and seeps into our understanding of makes everything else suspect. So those are examples I would have. Do you have any? I'll bring it back to you, good theologians in the room. Where else do you see this in Scripture?
I think, I mean, this was just in the Sharper Iron episode I listened to yesterday, but it helps us to understand more fully. I think the things that Jesus, like Jesus slept and he wept and he didn't eat food. Like these are real human things that we do also as human, but there's other, I mean, the divine nature is fully realized after his resurrection, and he, you know, but he still needs to eat the fish and he can eat the fish because he has resurrected and he's in state of exaltation, right? But he can still eats food. So it just, I don't know, there's all kinds of, like you said, I mean, this is obviously a question that's too big for just one conversation, but I think it maybe clarifies and sharpens parts of the gospel readings a little bit more.
We are talking with Pastor Brady Finner and taking a look at the Book of Concord readings for this month in the Lutheran Witness. We'll continue the conversation on the two natures of Christ and all the fun heresies associated with that.
Yes.
Hey-o.
We're going to have fun with heresies in just a moment. Listening to The Coffee Hour, I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth. Who am I? How has God gifted me? Where is God calling me to serve? Concordia University St. Paul helps students explore the answers to these questions. Through a Christ-centered Lutheran higher education, dedicated faculty, and engaging academic programs, CSP is here to walk alongside you in your educational journey. With more than 100 degree programs from undergraduate to graduate offered in person and online, CSP aims to prepare you for success however God calls you. Visit csp.edu to discover and engage your calling today.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're taking a look at the two natures of Christ in one person, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We're taking a look at that in the Book of Concord reading plan in the August issue of the Lutheran Witness with Pastor Brady Finnern, president of the LCMS Minnesota North District and host of Concord Matters here on KFUO. This is good stuff, and it's valuable to me that we understand this, but I have to ask the question for the person. And maybe I've been in these shoes before too. For the person who says, I believe Jesus is my savior from my sin, does God really care if I intellectually understand this stuff? Why is it so important for me to believe all these complicated and confusing ideas like this? I don't want to get caught up in all this theological talk, Pastor Finner.
Exactly. Well, once again, it goes back to salvation, is that we just don't believe that Jesus is my savior, because you can say that about anybody. And some name Jesus, right? You need a person who has died and atoned for the sins of the world. And you also need to know that this person is not like you or me. And once again, this is all throughout the book of Hebrews. This is why I love looking at it. This priest, this high priest, is different than the high priest in the Old Testament. And so you need a savior who has perfect blood, or else your forgiveness is in question. You need, as Sarah said so well before our break, you need one that rose from the dead, that he is truly God. And so this is very, very important. Now, when I say that, we don't need to go a deep, deep dive every single time that you're reflecting on confession absolution on Sunday morning or when you're taking communion. We need to keep to the simple words of Scripture. But it is good, especially, can we go here now to the heresies? Are we able to go to this as I
Bring it on.
Bring it on. Very good. To talk about the importance of the heresy. So once again, the form of Concord very clearly says what we believe and what we don't believe. And that's very important in our world today, because if you said, someone could say, I believe that Jesus is my savior. Okay, what does that mean? Does that mean Jesus was a good guy and therefore he did good things and therefore I'm saved when I do good things? Or is it Jesus my savior, he died for my sins and rose from the dead, and therefore I know that he, the fullness of salvation is mine. And so there's a lot of heresies throughout that really at first don't sound that bad, but have big implications. So I'll go to the fun one right away is Arianism. This is what the Athanasian Creed was written in response to. That the common thing about Arius and his understanding was there was a time that Jesus was not. So Jesus was not there at creation. He was created later. So he's a created being, and therefore he's a created being. Is he fully God or isn't he? And so that was a very common heresy, and it affects the nature of Jesus. Is he God or isn't he? Which once again brings in that question, did he have perfect blood? Did he perfectly do these things? Did he rise from the dead? So that was Arianism. Now, fun note here, during seminary, one of the years in intramurals, we had all the teams were named after heretics. And so my team, who happened, by the way, to win football, flag football that year, were the Arians. So just a little side note there. What do you think of that?
Sounds heretical.
And it was, but we won anyways. So there it is. The Arians win one time. So that's the first one I wanted to say. The other one was Nestorianism. And Nestorius was one who kind of espoused that there were completely two different natures here. That completely, they were not, how do you say it? They are not, they were not personally united. And that was important, because if they're completely, like there's no, communication of attributes, then is it really fully Jesus who saves us? Was that, did he die on the cross only his human nature? And then therefore, once again, was his blood actually perfect? Was he only died by his godly nature? How's that work? Was he really even a human being? Could we understand that he actually was dead? Those kind of things. So Nestorianism is something that I think we still kind of see today. Like, oh, that was only him as God. Oh, that was only him as human. And that very much so, once again, affects our view of the Lord's Supper. Like, well, that's only a symbol when it happened this way, or it only is a symbol because God can't be in two places at once kind of language. So that's another one of the heresies that is very, very common. I think personally, one that we have a tendency to need to fight today, and it reveals itself in what we call crypto-Calvinism very prominently in our culture. Any thoughts on that one?
Okay, talk more about crypto-Calvinism. I know it's in our confessions, but that's a big word.
It is. I'm sorry. Yeah. Crypto-Calvinism was basically like, well, I'm Lutheran in every way, but that I understand, I'm not sure about this Lord's Supper thing. I'm not sure if there's actually the real presence. I'm not sure if actually baptism does something. And so you talk about Calvinists and you look at Tulip and understanding of salvation when it talks about election. Double predestination goes into this very commonly. And it also comes into this when you look at the Lord's Supper, when they would speak, and Calvin and Luther, you know, did not get along in this one, where it was like, hey, he can't be in two places at once. So you see this, and also, excuse me, you do see this more so probably in the sacramentarians, when they would have, there's two natures, but they're separate from one another. Therefore, you know, he can't be in two places at once. But we understand that he's at the right hand of God, not in the Lord's Supper. That's where we see that commonly come through. Both those kind of come together very, they kind of mix quite a bit when we look at the heresies. So does that explain it, Sarah? Sorry.
Yeah. And that was a thing that happened shortly after or during the Reformation times too.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big issue with some of the reformers that kind of slid into that crypto-Calvinist kind of stuff. So that does
Correct.
Show up.
Yep. And that's exactly why we have the Form of Concord, is that they needed clarification on such theological distinctions during that time. And that's why, well, it was formed in the 1570s.
Yeah. Where do we see some of this today? You mentioned a couple of examples, but, you know, when we talk about old, the heretics with these names that we don't, I mean, they're old names, and we talk about the Reformation times, but where do we see some of these heresies pop up today so we can recognize and avoid them?
Yeah. And it's kind of difficult because, first of all, like, you have to be very good, very careful you're listening. But also, I mean, it comes down to, I think, our view of the Lord's Supper. Like, when someone says it is just a symbol, that this is the two natures of Christ is kind of creeping in. When somebody were to say, well, you know, Jesus was only divine, that there was no humanity to it, that this is creeping in. And I think more so when someone says that Christ is only my leader, that Jesus was only a political figure, that it's creeping in there as well, that you really are not seeing Jesus as God. You are not seeing him as our Savior on the cross. And I think a little bit we'll see this one, Jesus is my heart kind of language. And we talked about this previously in the righteousness of faith and of Christ, is that if Jesus is my heart, then why do we have the cross? You know, why do we need God and man on that cross for our salvation? So those are probably the examples that I would probably say you see the most in this important distinction.
All right. We've done a nice job of covering some of the heresies associated with the two natures of Christ. I'm sure we could go on for hours about
this. Hours. Yeah, right.
Hours and hours. So I guess in the last couple of minutes, let's talk about how we can faithfully affirm this proper understanding of the natures of Christ, especially in response to when we hear erroneous understandings of who Jesus is.
I think one of the parts of this article that is really pure gold, and we see this in the Athanasian Creed, is this understanding that Jesus has all power and authority. He's almighty, he's eternal, infinite, and everywhere present. To be able to let that sink in and say, okay, that's who he is. I can clearly go to the Lord's Supper and know that he is present, not just kind of in some spiritual sense that he's around us, but he is physically present with us. And the beauty of the understanding this is that, okay, he's fully God and he's fully man. And for whatever reason, he abstained from using all his power and glory and went to his, as Sarah said, the state of humiliation for the sake of our sins. That is a very profound reality that he at one time, one reality is fully God and fully perfect, all powerful, but also submits himself to our level. And that is something that I think is something good for us to always think about and what the implications of that is. That when he gives the forgiveness of sins, like for example, in the Office of the Keys, that this is real. That this is not something where we have to like overthink this, but we let it be what it says. What scripture says. We let Jesus speak and not ourselves. And so when Jesus says, this is my body, this is my blood, we say, okay, I believe it. That when we see Jesus say that he is one with the Father, okay, all right, there it is. And when we see Jesus weep, we understand that he understands our weaknesses, not that we can compare ourselves to him whatsoever, but he understands all of that, but yet he did it all without sin. All of this, we understand that state of humiliation. And why did he do it? For each one of us. And so let's just let, to me, that's a glorious thing. So let's not dig too deep into this, but stick to those clear words. So I would really encourage our listeners, look at the affirmative statements in the Epitome and just let that sink for a while, because the implications of it for you and the comfort, I think, for your conscience is out of this world, literally, and also very, very much so in our everyday life. So let's just lean on that. Let's have peace in that, and let's give thanks to God for that.
Any final wrap-up as we conclude talking about the two natures of Christ and also looking ahead to next month in September? It's Christ's descent into hell. So there must be some sort of implications as we move from one to the next.
Absolutely. I would just say, do your math. 100% God plus 100% man equals 100% Jesus. And I probably should put in there somewhere. I don't think I can do more math with it, but just an equals 100% of your salvation. Christ ascended into hell. You could kind of tell, and get ready for you, our listeners, it's very short. You can kind of tell that Chemnitz and Andrea and the other guys were like, you know, we're sick of this because this is getting ridiculous. So we're just going to put this one in there so that people can't talk about it anymore. So it's really simple next month, but also once again, it has implications on the person of Christ, our salvation, and our hope we have in Christ.
our guest, Pastor Brady Finnern, president of the LCMS Minnesota North District, looking at the Book of Concord reading plan for the August issue of the Lutheran Witness. Pastor Finnern, thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you. God bless you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.